in order for us as a country to get better, we have to fix the issue that we're having by closing this disparity gap, by bringing more attention to how marginalized groups in this country are treated and don't have access to basic things like mental health services.
Welcome to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast by Coralis, a global community of women and non-binary people making real progress on the world's to-do list. Together, we're transforming the world to become more equitable and sustainable.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lisa Dyson. I've been a Coralis activator for 6 years in two different countries. I'm a learning facilitator, and I help people and organizations to evaluate, manage, and grow their impact in the world. Today, I'm joined by Brittany Hardy of the Hardy Clinic, who was recently chosen by the Coralis community to be a venture. The Hardy Clinic is a Black-owned outpatient mental health practice based in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome, Brittany.
Thank you.
First of all, congratulations to you and your team at the Hardy Clinic on becoming a Coralis venture.
Thank you, Lisa. I am super, super excited and grateful to be a part of the community.
Excellent. Why don't we start by having you tell us a little more about the Hardy Clinic?
Okay. So as you said, the Hardy Clinic is an outpatient mental health practice. So we're actually a group practice. We're currently 100% virtual. So we provide outpatient counseling. So individual couples and family counseling to individuals, families, and children. So we see children ages 7 up to older adults. I started the Hardy Clinic back in 2018. Initially, it was just a solo practice. It was just myself. But then when the pandemic hit in 2020, clearly the need increased. So I started getting all these phone calls and I was like, okay, what can I do? So I hired on 2 therapists that year and we completed over 300 sessions that year with just me and 2 other therapists. And then over the past few years, it has just grown significantly. So last year, we actually completed 2,500 sessions last year in 2022. So we have grown. We have an internship program where we have undergraduate and graduate level interns where they either are providing counseling as well, like the licensed therapist, or they are providing some kind of service for us, like in the community, doing community outreach, working on our social media. So we provide opportunities for the undergraduate interns as well.
Great. Well, you've had a lot of growth in a short amount of time.
I am trying to catch up, Lisa. I am trying to catch up.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your personal background, where you grew up, your education, how you got into psychotherapy, that kind of thing.
Yes. So I was actually born in Atlanta, Georgia. I grew up, though, in Carrollton. So it's like west of Atlanta. It's like the country. And so that's where a good bit of my family actually lives in Carrollton. So I went to high school down there. I went to undergraduate at Georgia Southern University. My bachelor's was in psychology with a minor in child and family development. And then after that, I was like, I knew I wanted to work with people. I actually met my mentor. Her name is Dr. Marla Rouse. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist at Georgia Southern. So she kind of took me under her wing. I actually took my first flight at age of 20 to Long Beach, California to go to a conference. It was the American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy Conference. And Lisa, let me tell you, I was like, this is what I'm meant to do. Like, I just felt so alive there. I'm like, you know, talking to the clinicians, seeing the poster presentations, going to the workshops. I knew that's what I wanted to do. So I applied to graduate school. I got accepted into Mercer University. They have a Macon, Georgia campus and an Atlanta campus. So I was primarily at the Atlanta campus, met my new mentors there, Dr. Steve Livingston and Dr. Melanie Mullins. And it was a great experience. Like, I learned so much about myself. I love therapy. Like, we literally are trained to like help people, literally like help them for a living. So got my master's, completed that program. It was about 2 years. And then I actually traveled for a bit. So I just needed a break, which I think is important for our mental health. So I actually moved to China. I moved to Beijing, lived there for about 15 months. I taught English when I was there. And then I came back. I've always worked with kids throughout my life. I love children. So I worked as a nanny before I actually entered back into mental health and then went back into mental health, became clinical director really quick. It just everything kind of from there. My practice, you know, kind of came about right after that. So yeah, it was a great journey. I am really grateful for the experience. And then I've traveled too. So one thing, when I was living in China, I realized I wanted to live overseas again, but also, but work in mental health. So around COVID, I was living in Guam for a little bit and then moved to Italy for about 2 years. And I worked on military bases, working with children at the military school. So it was American kids on base, but it was overseas. And so I did that for about 2 years while I was building the Hardy Clinic. So the Hardy Clinic grew while I was overseas. So it literally went from me to other therapists to now we have about 15, 18 staff within that time frame. And so, but I'm currently back in Atlanta. I live here in Atlanta since June of last year.
Wow. So the fact that therapy was allowed to be virtual, I guess, allowed you to travel and build your practice at the same time.
It did. It did. To be honest, me and my colleagues, we weren't sure about this virtual space that we're in because we've only been taught face-to-face therapy. But it actually, I think, is very beneficial, one, for therapists to be able to still do other things, but also for our clients, because they can do it from their home. They don't have to, the kids are in another room. They don't have to find a babysitter. Like, I am glad that it kind of made this shift. I do still believe in face-to-face, in-person therapy, but online virtual therapy has been very beneficial.
And so do you think virtual therapy is here to stay, one of the enduring qualities of COVID?
100%. 100%. The plan for the Hardy Clinic, I do plan to get a brick and mortar space so our interns can have that face experience, but still have that option for the seasoned therapist. Because again, we've had that experience, so we know what to look for. Even camera is a bit different, but I do still think it's very much important as long as we can. But no, virtual is definitely here to stay. This is definitely the future.
And what do you think sets the Hardy Clinic apart from some other therapy practices?
Well, one thing that new research has shown that racial matching is very essential in therapy and outcomes. So our therapists actually mirror our clients. So we have a large population of African-American clients that we service, and most of our therapists are African-American. We have other minorities that work for us as well. Because a big issue within the mental health field has been this disparity. So only 4% of the psychology workforce are African-American. So we have a lot of people out here looking for therapists, but they can't find, you know, someone. So my place is a group practice. So it's a lot of therapists that clients can choose from. And so that's not the norm right now.
Right. And are all of your therapists women?
And they are all women. Yes. So one thing in the field, it is predominantly women driven in mental health. One thing we are advocating for is more male therapists. So there is a nonprofit that was created a couple of years ago called the Counseling Brothers of Atlanta. And so they're all Black men. And so my plan is to partner with them when we start doing a lot of work on college campuses. Mm-hmm. Part of, you know, that 4% that we have that's only African-American psychology workforce, we're trying to increase that numbers. And part of that would be targeting students, you know, encouraging them to, you know, if they're a psychology major, sociology major, going to graduate school. But a lot of times they need mentorship and guidance on doing that, because it's very rigorous to like when you apply to get in grad school, get licensed as a therapist, maintain the license. The income is not always the best depending on what state and what you do. And to do that, I think starting at the college level. So I'll be partnering with that organization to help mentor, you know, college students to get on that track.
Great. And once you opened your clinic, what's it been like being not just a psychotherapist, but also now an entrepreneur?
You know, I get that question a lot lately. I say that it's very challenging, but very freeing at the same time. I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I knew working for other people was not something I wanted to do long term. And being my own boss, I get to create what my work culture looks like. I've been in some spaces where it's been healthy, most of them not as much. And so being able to create a work environment has been the best. Like having my therapist, we had an intern, she recently graduated, and we did an exit interview. I wasn't there, but my team, they completed the exit interview. And she continued to say that she loved our environment. She's like, we know we're a small business, but she loved how I approach things. I was very transparent. She just had a very pleasant experience. And I love to hear that. I'm like, yes, this is what I want. Because I feel like as a therapist, it's very stressful for us. We are listening to people's problem all day throughout the day, and not just patients and clients, our family, because people come to us all the time asking for advice, friendships. So it can be very much a challenge. So having that work-life balance is essential. And I can say honestly right now, I am struggling a bit. I am struggling because things are growing rapidly. But again, it's about finding a new balance. One thing I tell clients all the time and my friends, that what worked for you before may not work for you now. So I'm finding different ways to cope and manage the daily stressors that we have. So being a therapist, I'm not currently taking clients because of all the things that I'm doing. But the great thing is I have great therapists, so I can refer people to the therapists that work for me because they're pretty great as well. So, and that's my mission now. That's what I tell people. So my mission is not to just be there to support clients anymore, is to support the therapist so they can continue to do the work long term. Because one thing that I've found is a lot of therapists leave the field. They get burnt out and they do something totally different, or they do something that's not patient client care. And right now with COVID, the pandemic, what we still have from that, the inflation, people need us. They need us more than ever. And I want to continue to figure out how I can support the therapist so they can continue to do the work.
Great. So you've mentioned some challenges. What are some of the challenges that you've faced along the way, or what would you say is maybe your biggest current challenge, and what inspires you to keep going?
Challenges along the way. I like a challenge. That's the crazy part. I really do. I literally moved to China when I was like in my mid-20s. I didn't speak the language. I would say currently that has continued to be a challenge is like the cash flow part, right? And I've realized that with a lot of companies, this is a very common issue and challenge. And particularly for, you know, African-Americans with acquiring funding, it's a struggle. I've seen it with other entrepreneurs that I've been, you know, talking to lately. And so with the cash flow issue, really understanding the financials is something that I've definitely been a learning curve for me. So I've recently found a great CPA that's helping. And then I have a financial firm as well. So having that team has made me feel a bit more at ease. Like, okay, these are the people who are going to tell me this is what I can do in the interim until I can, you know, find more financial support for my company. And the other question you said, challenges, and then...
What inspires you to keep going when you have challenges?
I keep thinking that this is bigger than me. You know, like this is really like... I am capable of this. I know I am. I don't know why I know, but I know that I am. And this is bigger than me. Because people tell me all the time, Brittany, you're doing so much. This is so great for the world. This is great. You need to keep doing this. But then I'm like, I can. I love it. Like this is something that I really am passionate about. Like I believe in mental health. I believe that we need a third party to talk to every week or bi-weekly to help us figure this thing called life out, you know? So I'm just a believer in it. And so when I'm passionate about something, I definitely stay with it and go full force, 100%. You know, I have my days, but what also helps me is my team. I have an operations manager, I have a really great support system as far as friends. And oh, I'm so grateful for them because I have my days, but they are like, there to like listen to me, to support me, and I couldn't do it without them 100%.
Excellent. So you've pointed out that only 4% of psychotherapists are African American, and that the Hardy Clinic is actively working to change this statistic by training new professionals. And so first tell us why it's so important to change that statistic, and then explain a little more about your intern program you mentioned early on in your career. Someone took you under their wing and that made a big difference for you. Why is it so important to change that statistic? You know, why you started an academy as part of your practice and how does all of that work?
Yes, I think it's important because one thing that has always been is marginalized people in this country, you know, not getting the same type of service, not having access to services, and it's just unfair. And then what better way to fix it with a person that knows, has been in that situation where I haven't had the same opportunities, I've seen the disparity gap, why not fix it? Because in order for us as a country to get better, we have to fix the issue that we're having by closing this disparity gap, by bringing more attention to how marginalized groups in this country are treated and don't have access to basic things like mental health services. And so with my academy, we are training interns. So we're training master's level and again, undergraduate interns and giving them just tools. And like, for example, when I was an intern, I was at a psych hospital. My initial internship was at a private practice, but I didn't feel the environment wasn't warm. It wasn't like they were cold. The woman was nice, but it just didn't feel like I belonged there. And when you have this sense of not belonging, you're literally, most people literally just kind of leave altogether, the field, school, whatever. But for me, I'm just not that person. So I found a better site that aligned more with what I wanted. And it was actually at a psych hospital, which I love that experience, but it's not for everyone because it's tough, right? And so one thing that I did see that my colleagues would talk about, other interns would say they wanted the private practice experience as an intern, because that's usually the goal for a lot of therapists. They want to get their master's and go and practice and see clients on an outpatient basis. So with the training academy, that is exactly what they get. They get a private practice experience. We give them a caseload, but we also provide a lot of supervision, a lot of oversight. We provide a lot of trainings every month from outside therapists. We learn about different things. I actually had a colleague to come in to talk about having a trust, because that's something that we can deal with, you know, a will versus a trust, and something a lot of our clients deal with as well, with parents, you know, or even with them if they have children. So they get to have experiences about just things in life, but definitely things particularly catered to working with clients. And so having that support and feeling seen and feeling heard, because that's what any person, I feel like we all want, but especially as an intern in a graduate program, they want to feel seen and heard. And so we're providing a space for them to feel accepted. For people, again, we're mirroring who they are and our clients, so we understand a bit of what they're going through, because we've been through maybe something similar. And so giving them that support too, and also letting them know when they go out into the world, they can always come back, you know, to like just talk, to work, whatever, because we are a family now. And we need that, again, because this work is hard. You know, this is really, really hard. And again, my goal is for therapists to be sustained long-term careers in this field, helping people, because that's what we need. That's the need right now. So many clients call us all the time saying that they're looking for, they've been looking for like weeks for a therapist. And it's because a lot of us burnt out and a lot of retiring or moving somewhere else. It's important for us to create that kind of environment here to help them long-term.
You mentioned in there feeling seen and heard. Can you explain a little bit about how you use social media to help people be seen and heard and to share important information about your clinic and about mental health in general and a platform to amplify voices?
Mm-hmm. So we try to talk about different things. So one issue we talked about was body dysmorphia. So that's really common. A lot of people who struggle with how they view their body. And so we have TikTok, we have Instagram, and our interns either, you know, record things. They do kind of what the theme is kind of, also we look at the themes, things that they're doing right now of how to structure what the content we put out, but we use those platforms. And what we're actually switching to now is that we're going to use TikTok more and going to work with some micro influencers to help get the message out even more, because they already have a platform. And then we'll just talk to them about the messaging that we want to convey more about mental health, just different tips that, you know, they can do, you know, really easy things like taking a walk for 5 minutes and things like that. So we have been using social media to kind of, you know, get the word out, give people different tips and different things. We also do like email blasts as well, give people tips on just different things of how to kind of manage the day to day.
Great. So we have a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to this podcast, and entrepreneurs often get bombarded with these messages about, you know, the grind and hustle culture, and that's just the way it is, and that's just what it takes to get ahead as an entrepreneur. So for you, as someone who kind of works at the intersection of mental health and entrepreneurship, do you have any advice for entrepreneurs around sort of prioritizing their mental health or their wellness in general? And then what do you personally do to de-stress and for self-care?
So yes, I would suggest saying no. Literally just saying no, especially if you don't have the time. You know, you can just say no, not right now. And I think that's a big one, to be quite honest, because as entrepreneurs, we take on so much. We're like, yes, yes, we can do that. We can do that. Like, no. So I feel like overall, just saying no. And it'll be fine. Like, it's uncomfortable for a minute. After you say no, take a deep breath. Give yourself about 10 seconds. And I'm pretty sure you're fine because you have something else you need to do. So I would just say no. If you can't do it, literally, just say no. If you have to think about it and try to move things, literally, just say no. And so for me, so to be honest, like people have been saying that to me lately. And like, you know, what can you do for self-care? Because I've just really been pulled thin with everything I have going on. And for me, the struggle has been my plate is full. So there's the self-care part, like what can I do? And it's saying no. So I literally did that yesterday and today. I told a couple people, no, I can't do that. I have a meeting today. I'm going to tell them, no, I can't do that. So that's what I'm practicing. What I really believe in that, practicing what you preach, especially as a therapist. I do feel like it's my job out here to help people. I have to make sure I take my own advice. I have to. And it's just ethically for me, that's important. So I will be saying no to things.
And then, you know, also in the Coralis community are people who are not necessarily themselves entrepreneurs, but they support entrepreneurs in some way, whether that's through funding or you know, just by being in the Coralis community. So how can the ecosystem around entrepreneurs really put their money where their mouth is and support entrepreneur well-being?
It's interesting. I was at a symposium, a Truist symposium the other day, and they were talking about this specifically. I think just reaching out and seeing what the need is, because it's there. Like, people definitely need this financial support. And now I know specifically how much, what it would go to, you know, because of talking to the coach with Coralis. And then I have another program that I've been talking to a coach with. So now I'm very much, again, and like I know more about exactly how I would use the funding. So I would suggest reaching out directly, like, okay, hey, we have this funding, and letting them, in a sense, kind of pitch, you know, because that's a big thing now, you know, pitch themselves kind of what, you know, what their needs are, how this funding would be used. But just reach out directly, because the need is there, especially for human services companies. You know, we don't get a lot of funding. I look for things all the time, and a lot of the funds is like for tech, you know, or for other, you know, and I'm like, what about us? We're out here helping the people that are in tech. You know, they come to us for therapy, you know, so we definitely need the funding. And we just needed a little bit of tweaking. Again, the little bit of knowledge from our, you know, a good CPA, from my, the financial firm I have, to like, let me know, this is what you need. This is what this looks like. I'm like, okay. And then, you know, we're smart humans. We can get it. We can get it, but talking to us directly to like, and then we'll let you know this is what we need, you know, and go from there.
Great. So you've just been welcomed into the Coralis community as a venture. Yes. Very recently, but can you share a bit about how it's going so far, how the application process was, the venture retreat, any connections you've made, essentially, you know, how has your experience been so far? And then hopefully it will only continue to expand from here.
Yeah. So the application, I'll start with that. I do remember, ironically, I was completing it. I was at a colleague, a friend's house, and she's an entrepreneur as well. You know, I was asking her friend who was there to kind of look over a couple things for me. And, you know, I submitted it at her house. And so when I got accepted, I think she was the first person I called. It was her. But the application wasn't that bad. I liked it because it forced me to really think some things through, you know, and kind of write it down. So things I had in my head, but just to put it down, you know, on something. The retreat, I really enjoyed it. I learned a lot about just my style as a leader, things that I believe, some challenges, some things to improve, but also my operations manager, why we fit so well. Like, I knew that her and I did, but man, I mean, left brain, right brain. And we really get along. She's one of my favorite people. She always says that she manifested me. So, but I think I manifested her too, because I'm grateful. But yeah, so the retreat was amazing. Learned a lot about, you know, my style as a leader. Learned a couple tips that actually helped me with something else, because they talked to us about a pitch, and we had to work on that. And then I did one recently for something else. So very beneficial. And then I've been working with one of the coaches. That was great. Like, she actually was in mental health before her career choice now. And that was great because, you know, feeling seen and heard. So she really understood, you know, what I was saying. So I just love that. And then one connection that I made, the person that called me was one of the activators from PNC Bank. She actually connected me with her counterpart here in Atlanta. I literally met up with this person the next day. I'm very quick, Lisa. I'm very quick. I waste no time. And she was lovely. And I am switching to PNC Bank. I will be banking. Yes. Like, she sent me the paperwork. I filled everything out. So, and she was just, it was just such a great meeting. She was just so impressed and I was impressed. So yeah, so I've made some really good connections so far. So I'm over the moon, to be quite honest. And so, so great. I say grateful a lot because I am, because a lot of these experiences in life, I want them and then they happen and I'm like, okay, yes, universe, I accept it.
Excellent. Yeah, I think gratitude is very important for our mental health.
Yes.
What do you think is next for the Hardy Clinic? Where do you see the future going for your venture?
Definitely expansion. Right now, most of our clients are within the metro Atlanta. So the goal is to expand to other areas in Georgia, but then also expand to other states. The two in mind initially would be Florida and California. That we're going to expand to virtually, and then maybe at some point a brick and mortar place, but we are going to expand to other states. Because we've actually had interest from therapists from other states to work from us now, but due to licensure jurisdiction, not at the moment. But the goal is to work towards that towards the end of the year.
Excellent. Wow. And I don't know if you've been exposed to this yet, but part of the Coralis community is the ask and give practice. And so do you have an ask or a request for listeners in the Coralis community, something that they might be able to help you with?
Maybe ways to find like additional, like one big thing that I've been trying to do is like follow up on grants. So ways to find grants, you know, helping with grant writing, finding someone to help with the grant writing portion would be great. So yeah, that could be an ask.
And Brittany, if people want to find you online and follow up with you, how can they find you?
So they can reach me at thehardyclinic.com. And they can also reach us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at thehardyclinic.com. So D-T-H-E, Hardy, H-A-R-D-Y-C-L-I-N-I-C.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much, Brittany, for talking with us today. And again, a big congratulations and welcome into the Coralis community.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for listening to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast. Let us know what you thought of the episode and share this podcast with your friends. We invite you to join a global community of radically generous women and non-binary folks at www.coralis.world.